The children were all in school, and the bitter weather kept others indoors. Only an old man, mittened and scarved, walked his ancient dog. "Which house is it?" the taxi driver inquired over his shoulder. She leaned forward, ridiculously excited and expectant. "Oh, just a little way on, through the village, the white gates on the right. They're open. There, here we are." He turned in through the gates and the car drew up at the back of the house. She opened the door and got out, drawing her dark blue cape around her against the cold. She opened her bag and found her key, went to unlock the door. Behind her, the taxi driver manhandled open the boot of the car and lifted out her small suitcase. She turned to take it from him, but he held on to it, somewhat concerned. "Is there nobody here to meet you?"
"No, nobody.
I live alone, and everybody thinks I'm still in the hospital."
"You'll be all right, will you?"
She smiled into his kindly face. He was quite young, with fair bushy hair.
"Of course."
He hesitated, not wishing to presume.
"If you want, I'll carry the case in, carry it upstairs if needs be."
"Oh, that's kind of you, but I can easily manage."
"No bother,"
he told her, and followed her into the kitchen. She opened the door and led him up the narrow cottage stairs. Everything smelt clinically clean. Mrs. Plackett, bless her heart, had not been wasting time during the few days of Penelope's absence. She quite liked it when Penelope went away, because then she could do things like wash the white paint of the banisters and boil dusters and buff up the brass and silver. Her bedroom door stood ajar. She went in, and the young man followed her, setting her case on the floor.
"Anything else I can do?" he asked.
"Not a thing.
Now, how much do I owe you?"
he told her, looking shamefaced, as though it were an embarrassment to him. She paid him and told him to keep the change. He thanked her, and they went back down the stairs. But still he hung about, seeming reluctant to leave. He probably, she told herself, had some old granny of his own, for whom he felt the same sort of responsibility.
"You'll be all right, then?"
"I promise you, and tomorrow my friend Mrs. Plackett will come, so then I won't be alone anymore."
This, for some reason, reassured him. "I'll be off, then. Goodbye, and thank you."
"No trouble." When he was gone, she went back indoors and closed the door. She was alone. The relief of it.
Home.
Her own house, her own possessions, her own kitchen. The aga, oil-fired, simmered peacefully to itself, and all was blissfully warm. She loosened the fastening of her cape and dropped it across the back of a chair. A pile of mail lay on the scrubbed table, and she leafed through it, but there seemed to be nothing there, either vital or interesting, so she let it lie and crossed the kitchen, opening the glass door that led into her conservatory. The thought of her precious plants, possibly dying of cold or thirst, had bothered her somewhat during the last few days, but Mrs. Plackett had taken care of them, as well as everything else. The earth in the pots was moist and loamy, and the leaves were crisp and green. An early geranium wore a crown of tiny buds, and the hyacinths had grown at least 3 inches. Beyond the glass, her garden lay winterbound, the leafless trees black lace against the pale sky, but there were snowdrops thrusting through the mossy turf beneath the chestnut and the first buttergold petals of the aconites. She left the conservatory and made her way upstairs, intending to unpack, but instead allowed herself to be diverted by the sheer delight of being home again. And so meandered about, opening doors, inspecting every bedroom, to gaze from each window, to touch furniture, to straighten a curtain. Nothing was out of place. Nothing had changed. Finally downstairs again and in the kitchen, she picked up her letters and went through the dining room, and then into her sitting room. Here were her most precious possessions, her desk, her flowers, her pictures. The fire was laid. She struck a match and knelt to touch it to newspaper. The flame flickered, the dry kindling flared and crackled. She piled on logs and the flames rose high in the chimney. The house now was alive again. And with this pleasurable little task out of the way, there could be no further excuse for not ringing up one of her children and telling them what she had done. But which child? She sat in her chair to consider the alternatives. It should be Nancy, of course, because she was the eldest and the one who liked to think that she was totally responsible for her mother. But Nancy would be appalled, panic-stricken, and loud with recrimination. Penelope did not think that she felt quite